This afternoon, I would like to spend just a few moments in our meditation prior to the taking of the Lord's Supper itself on the subject of the Lord Jesus, of course, because of this is the remembrance of him. But I would like to consider the reality of his pre-existence as the pre-existent Son of God, our Savior. I think it can be very helpful. I think it's very important because it's very clearly declared to us in the Scriptures. And so as we think of him, and we think especially of his work in redeeming our souls, it is important for I think, to be able to reflect upon the reality that he was before he was a man. I want to do over these 3 points. First of all, introductory remarks concerning his preexistence. Secondly, biblical statements concerning his preexistence. And then finally, what his preexistence means to us today, and particularly this particular service. So first of all, some introductory remarks concerning the preexistence of our Savior. In a rather remarkable series of statements, our Lord Jesus, in his own words, presents to our minds the idea of his existence, that it did not simply begin when he was born in Bethlehem. But he says to us that he came, or that he came from above, from heaven to earth, or that he was sent by the Father. These are all statements of our Lord Jesus. So, if he came from above, or if he was sent, he must have existed before he came. Before he came from above, before he was sent. Now, these verses that we'll be looking at in a few moments give to us not only a unique testimony of his divine mission. You will notice as I read these verses that they are clearly defining to us his mission for us. In fact, you will notice as we read them, that's our focus of attention when we see that his words were saying or were speaking to us concerning his mission. But I want us to also to notice in these statements concerning his mission for us in delivering us from sin is a testimony concerning his heavenly origin. And I don't think we should miss this. I think we should see it because it is revealing to us some very important truths. And so these statements, which will be given, which give to us a statement of his divine mission, but also a testimony to his heavenly origin, sets him, the Lord Jesus himself, before us, not only as the greatest of the sons of men, but as the pre-existent person. In some of these statements, he is presented as an eternal being. And there's no question that these statements are spoken out of a consciousness of preexistence. Statements cannot be fully taken in or understood by any other argument than the fact that he came from heaven, or that he was sent by the Father. And this is particularly true when the title concerning himself being the Son of Man is used in these verses. In these verses, he sets himself before us as higher than human and more than of earthly origin. Now, that being the case, he is to be seen then as one uniquely qualified to speak to men concerning spiritual things. Secondly, then, biblical statements concerning his preexistence. Here then are some of the statements and some of the verses that he himself has spoken to us. Now, as I read them, I am going to read them with the text. I'm not going to make any comment on them, but just read them. And then I'll also be emphasizing the particular statement concerning the fact that, which indicates that he was pre-existing before he came to earth. Luke 19, you don't need to follow them. I'll read them very quickly. You certainly can if you'd like to. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Matthew 5:17. Mark 1:38. let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. Mark 1:38. Matthew 15:24. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Mark 15:24. Matthew 15:24. Mark 2:17. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Mark 2:17. Matthew 10:34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Matthew 10:34. John 16:28. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. John 16:28. John 8:14. Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I'm going. John 8:14. John 8:16. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. John 8:16. John 8:23. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. John 8:23. John 3:13. No one has ascended to the Father but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. John 3:13. And then John 6:62. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? John 6:62. So those are the verses that all indicate the reality of, first of all, of his mission, but in the light of that mission, the fact that he was a pre-existing Son of God. It's quite evident that the doctrine of the pre-existence of Christ is a vital factor in any proper understanding of his person. It is clearly stated in each of his statements here. Now, in our consideration of the Lord Jesus, it is of the greatest importance that we understand his life in the light of his pre-existence. Thirdly, what his pre-existence means to us today. What does this mean to us? Why is it important in our remembrance of our Lord, even tonight or this afternoon? Well, let me give you a couple reasons. Number one, it is important in the first place in order that we may keep constantly before us the fact that the incarnation was not simply the birth of a great man, but rather that at his incarnation, the eternal Son of God entered into human conditions. It is important that we may always realize that in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are face to face with the God-man. Secondly, and perhaps a little bit more fitting to our meeting today, it is important in the second place, in order that we may adequately appreciate the service that he has fulfilled for us, that we may adequately appreciate the service that he has fulfilled for us. It is simply impossible adequately to appreciate what Jesus has done for us unless we remember that the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, when our Lord Jesus gave himself for us, he gave us all the rights and privileges that went with himself. Now, it's very important to recognize the great truth that as eternal God, he has essential rights which no creature may even speculate or pretend to have, because he is God. And yet, at the same time, our Lord Jesus, as the mediator, as our federal head in this new covenant of grace which we are part of, as the Son of Man, he has no heritage apart from us. Well, that's an amazing fact. We will see this in some of the scriptures. But all the superb consequences of his obedience and death are the joint riches of all who are in him. It is on our behalf that he accomplished the divine will. Think of it. God in his plan, as the triune God, had a plan for the salvation of sinners. And his Son, the Father's Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, the Eternal One, came to earth under the divine plan and work for sinners such as you and I to be brought into the tremendous blessing of having an inheritance given to us. He has entered into glory. We know he's there now. The scriptures clearly teach us. But he did not enter there for himself alone, because it is written in Hebrews 6:20 that he, and here's the scripture, the forerunner has entered for us. Hebrews 6:20. It is also written in Hebrews 9:24 that as he stands in the presence of God, even now, Hebrews 9:24 says he appears in the presence of God for us. What a blessing. What a fact to have the eternal Son of God entering into the glories of heaven, standing before the Father for us. Now, we must remember this, that as fellow believers, we who are part of the Church of Jesus Christ, even here at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Coconut Creek, we have no rights in heaven of ourselves. Our right lies in our Lord Jesus Christ. All the riches, all the promised, all the reality of redemption that is ours when we enter into the presence of God is ours because of Christ. Not a word or a work that you and I have done can qualify us or ever qualify us. Everything is because of Jesus Christ. If you are pardoned from your sins, it is through his blood. If you are to have any stand before God without your sins condemning you, it is because of Jesus' blood. If you are justified in God's sight, if you have a right standing and acceptable acceptance before God, it is through his righteousness. If you are sanctified before God, if you are made holy before a holy God, it is because he is made of God unto you sanctification. Your holiness is because of what he is, as imputed to us. If you will be kept from falling, it will be because you are preserved in Christ Jesus. If you are to be perfected at the end when we stand before that judgment throne, it will be because you are complete in him. In this, our Lord Jesus is magnified. Everything is because of him and by him. Therefore, the inheritance is made certain because it is obtained in him. Therefore, every blessing is the more blessed, and even heaven itself is brighter because it is our Lord Jesus, the object of our affection, in whom we have obtained everything. Everything. Where's the man that can estimate the divine portion that belongs to the saints of God? How can we even estimate what they are? This is to draw a picture to the reality of what we have in Christ. If we put all the riches of Christ on scales, or if we put the treasure on a balance, we could not imagine the treasure, the riches, or the prosperity that belongs to the saints. And that includes the saints at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Coconut Creek. That's ours because of him. We could not even reach the bottom of the Lord's fullness of joy. But it will be ours because of him. We could not hope to understand the bliss which God has prepared for those that love him. It's too much for our imagination. But it is ours because of him. If we try to see the boundaries of the Lord's possessions, if we could not, we could not even dream of the limit of the auspicious inheritance that belongs to us because of Him. Everything is because of Him. The inheritance, of course, refers to those all things that He has chosen to give to us. Now, can we imagine that? Can it possibly be that we would forget that? But it's true. Because of the Lord Jesus, because He is the eternal God, because He has fulfilled the divine command and the divine will to become a man and to take upon Himself all the responsibilities that the law required when we failed, but He did not. And then He went to that awful cross where He died and was suffering under the punishment not only of man, but of the Father Himself. The punishment you deserve, I deserve, but He did it. And it's because He is the God-man that we have that promise before us. May God enable us as we would take these elements presented before us here as a reminder under the command of our Savior Himself, and focus our attention on the realities of what we have in Him. Everything is in Him. Everything is in Him and by Him. Let us remember Him. If you have your Bibles now, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to read that portion from God's inspired word. The Apostle Paul wrote to us in reference to the obedience to the command of Christ. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes.